Putney County is considering changing the way government operates. A committee has been formed to study government options, but not the desired benefits for the citizens. Why go through this exercise? Turns out to have been a campaign promise. Nothing can go wrong with this move, right? Welcome to Idaho Speaks, a censor-free zone for conservative ideas. With big tech and mainstream media fighting to silence conservatives, I decided to create a communication channel devoted to issues important to Idahoans, conservative Idahoans. I'm not ashamed of my conservative beliefs, and I know you are not either. Tune in each week to hear local and state issues and hear candidates firsthand speak about how they will represent you, the Idaho voter. Idaho Speaks, where issues take shape. So with me in studio today, I have a very special guest. I reached out to all three commissioners for Kootenai County and invited them to come onto the program because we got a really big issue taking place here in Kootenai County. And with me today, I have Leslie Duncan, the Kootenai County Commissioner for District 3. Leslie, thank you so much for coming in studio today.
I appreciate the invitation.
So let's talk a little bit about, first off, what gave you this crazy idea to run for the county commission?
My husband and I traveled extensively for work, and every time we came back to town, we realized that our precious Kootenai County was changing. And so instead of being ones to complain about it, we decided to get involved, and one thing led to another, and I ran for commissioner in 2016, lost merely by 69 votes in the primary. And then I won fairly handedly in 2018 in the primary.
You know, I served as city councilor, and it's a thankless job. City council is one thing, but I can't imagine being a county commissioner in a county with 180,000 people.
Yeah, it is difficult, but I really love the job. I love the fact that we are guided by state statute. And I haven't really found it to be thankless. I literally get one or new people a week to tell me how grateful they are that I am there and that I listen to them.
Marvelous, marvelous. So I brought you on today because the listeners have been hearing a lot of news, especially recently in the newspaper, about the county looking at changing the form of government or doing a study to consider a change in the form of government. I want to read you something that I prepared here. It looks like the most recent version of government change started back on October 19th of 2020. I think I've viewed just about all of the videos that can be viewed on the meetings where the resolution 2020-69 were discussed. But, you know, I must have missed the one, the part, the debate, the discussion as to the reason why this exercise is being prescribed. So why is Kootenai County going through the process of reviewing the form of government that we have?
Well, let me give you a little bit of history. In the late 90s, the legislature, the citizens voted to change the Constitution, which allowed us optional forms of government. Then the legislature went ahead and gave us 7 optional forms of government. Back in the 90s, Kootenai County did a study, and it was turned down. It didn't go anywhere. The voters didn't approve it. And then in 2012, it was brought back up, and it was put on the ballot, and it was voted down by the voters. Now, the one in 2012, it had the 4 of the 6 row officers as being appointed, not elected. So right now we have the treasurer, the assessor, the clerk, the coroner, the sheriff, and the prosecuting attorney are all elected. The ballot measure in 2012 did not have the treasurer, the coroner, the assessor, and the clerk as elected, but appointed. And then we would still elect the sheriff and the prosecutor. It also, I believe, went to 5 county commissioners and a county manager. And that was the optional form that was put on the ballot. So Why we're reviewing it now, I honestly can't answer that question. I know that Bill Brooks had campaigned at one point on 7 part-time commissioners. So I'm not going to put words in his mouth. I actually do not know why we are having this conversation right now.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. So I want to read, this is from the most recent commission meeting that you folks had. I believe that was just a couple of weeks ago. And this is kind of the final version of the bylaws, how the committee is going to be formed. And my take isn't so much on how the committee is going to be formed to do this study. I think what's most important for the listeners to hear is how would changing what we have now benefit them? What is not happening for the citizens now that a structural or a governmental change would address? So bear with me. I'm sorry. I'm gonna read a little bit here. It's only 3 paragraphs, but this is the Kootenai County Optional Forms of County Government Study Commission bylaws. The mission statement, the purpose of the optional form of County Government Study Commission shall be to study the existing form of county government to the various forms available through Idaho state statute. Compare the existing form of county government, determine whether or not changes to the existing structure of county government is warranted. Objectives. The study commission shall consider the benefits and drawbacks in developing a recommendation to the Board of County Commissioners of whether to retain the current form of county government or whether to recommend one or more of the optional forms of the county government, and those findings and recommendations be presented to the Board of County Commissioners for the BOCC to adopt by resolution for a potential ballot measure. The goal is to provide for greater efficiency and representation for the residents of Kootenai County. How this is to be achieved is to be recommended by the study commission, which may involve the current structure unchanged, an increase to the current 3-member county commissioners, or a county manager, administrator, or executive with part-time county commissioners as the study commission deems appropriate by their majority vote. So before I dive into my questions, did I get anything wrong in the reading of that statement?
No. However, this form of bylaws can absolutely be rejected by the 9-member study commission because state law allows them to produce their own governing documents. So this was just a suggestion by the board so they can choose to operate under these bylaws or they can choose to make their own.
Yeah, and that there's a whole scary thing right there. Now, I don't know if you, the listener, realize this. I'm sure you do. We've got a smart audience on Idaho Speaks. This is kind of like, Leslie, correct me if I'm wrong, this is kind of like a constitutional convention. Sort of. This is evaluating the rules as we're currently operating and determine if there's a better way to do it.
Yes. So partially to that question, putting it to the voters, you know, is always a good idea as far as if change is warranted, they need to be involved.
Of course.
But my concern is with outside money coming in, which it has been in Kootenai County elections, to sway the vote to a certain way, then I'm afraid that the electorate may be fooled into voting for something that they don't, you know, that they got misinformed on. Like I look at it like Medicaid expansion. So a lot of people voted for it. Then when they found out, well, what's the funding source? Well, you know, all these different questions came out after they passed it. I know a whole group of people who voted for it are very disappointed.
Well, and I'm gonna steal your Medicaid example, but rather than looking at the cost side, I'm gonna look at the health side. So if I go to the doctor and I say, doctor, I got this cough. I got, you know, what should I do? And he just hands me some pills without ever looking at me. I think that's prescription without diagnosis, and that's malpractice, right?
Yep.
So what is the diagnosis? Why make this? And I know you didn't. You've actually voted no every step of the way to proceed with this, but you've been in the meetings. You've heard Bill and Chris talk about this. You've heard people come before the commission to talk about this. give our listeners kind of a clue as to what is the symptoms that are causing the need to do a study and maybe throw the baby out with the bathwater.
So my perspective is it is a job that has a lot of moving parts. There is a lot to do. It's 40 to 60 hours a week, depending on the topics that we're studying and depending on what is going on in the community. So it is a pretty heavy job, and you have to have a little bit of expertise in many, many subjects. We handle 17 departments and 6 elected official groups. So that's kind of a lot to know a lot about. It's the budget's over $100 million. So it's kind of a difficult job. Now, there's things that we can do. We've hired staff. There's different things that I would like to address to kind of maybe streamline and help us better handle our day-to-day responsibilities. I think there's some things that can be delegated to other positions, I guess is what you would say. For me, I want this form of government because we should be deliberative. Government is meant to be deliberative. We should be having these conversations with other elected officials. It shouldn't just be the only elected officials being 5 commissioners or 7 commissioners. And I think that sometimes commissioners don't like the pushback that they get from other elected officials. And the commissioners have control of the budget, but they don't have control of the operations of the other commissioners. And frankly, I don't want to tell the sheriff what to do. I don't want to tell the prosecutor what to do. I definitely don't want to tell the assessor, the clerk, the treasurer, the coroner what they should do. I want the people to be able to elect them. Now, efficiency is lost in this form of government. However, I would argue that the most efficient form of government is tyranny. So why not have a dictator that, you know, that's very efficient? Whatever he or she says goes, and there's no representation from the people who are, we wouldn't exist without people. So I think sometimes when government runs, the people in government don't really take that into account.
Well, and that's kind of what this feels like. This feels like, especially with the pandemic, we're wrapping up, I hope, we're wrapping up a very tumultuous time where decisions were made, right or wrong. This episode isn't discussing whether those decisions to mask up, shut down, are right or wrong. That's completely irrelevant. We're past that. But it feels like statements that were made in the newspaper, that were made to other groups, and I know you didn't make them, and I don't want to put their words on your shoulders, but it feels like there's some folks on the commission that just feel like they didn't have enough power during this, that they wanted to go a certain way, and the other elected officials in line said no. And I'll point to one very specific, the sheriff. The sheriff, newly elected, came on, published a letter, so I'm not going to enforce the mask mandate. And then published another one saying, and I'm not going to confiscate guns. Now, so let me ask the question here. Was gun confiscation ever an issue the county commission was even discussing?
So actually it was, because I had a bunch of constituents ask me to pass a Second Amendment sanctuary ordinance like had been done across the country. So it wasn't anything necessarily new, and it wasn't anything that was my idea to bring forward. I just had literally 100 emails asking me to do this. So I thought, well, you know, it sounds like it would be beneficial to our community to give them that peace of mind. Now, the sheriff has a lot to do with that, and he didn't end up supporting us passing that. So, I'm not sure if he put that not participating in the confiscation in writing, but he did say that in a public meeting.
The idea here, though, is now the sheriff is duly elected by voters. He's one of us, working for us, representing us, and if we don't like what he's doing, we can vote him out, put somebody else in place. Whereas if the sheriff was now an employee of the county, again, that's just 1 of 7, I realize that, but if the sheriff was just one employee, we'd have to come to the county commission and complain. The county commission would have to, by majority, agree and then go to the county manager and say, you're going to have to change the sheriff. But the sheriff is operational and works for the county manager, and the county manager can basically tell the commission, go pound sand. I'm not going to tell the sheriff to do anything different because it's federal law. And he's backed up by the fact that federal law has something to say in here. So the voters in one scenario are completely removed. And in the other scenario, it seems like they're in complete control. Do I got this wrong?
No, it's pretty close to that. Of course, the majority of the commissioners could fire that county manager,
right,
and then, you know, get their will done by that way.
Assuming a majority could be achieved.
Right, right. And I guess my concern with any type of appointment is everybody has their constitutional role. So my concern is, as Board of Equalization, which the commissioners sit in twice a year as that board, and now if the assessor is appointed or hired and that assessor comes against the county commission, I mean, right now we go to court. And so is that option still available, or is the assessor not going to come against us and do the right thing because now he or she's in fear for losing their job?
So it seems to me like one of the elected commissioners ran on this idea of changing the form of government. And why he wants to change the form of government, we don't know that yet. I've reached out to Bill. He hasn't responded. Don't know if we'll get an answer. We heard him give sort of an answer at the Kootenai County Republican Women's Federated meeting on April 1st. I would reference folks, take a look at YouTube. It wasn't a nice answer. But from the standpoint of what he is trying to achieve, we have no measurement as to what the desired outcome is. We do not know what he's got in mind for improving. And this is why I kind of compare it to a constitutional convention. If we open up a constitutional convention, that really is a study of all things having to do with the U.S. Constitution. And at said convention, the entire Constitution can be rewritten, can be thrown out, can be just modified, tweaked. And we've done a few constitutional conventions, and they weren't very pretty. I really view that this is really throwing the baby away with the bathwater. Rather, let's go to the citizens and say, here's an area of efficiency where the county struggles. And this is why I feel the county is struggling with this. Now let's come up with a way to resolve that problem. It'd be like going to, pick a business, the resort, and saying to Mr. Hagedorn, you know, your restaurant, you're just not serving, you know, good enough desserts. So what we need to tear out both restaurants. In fact, let's just tear down the whole building. Let's just rebuild it. Let's put in three new restaurants, one of which that really has to be a dessert-only place. I know this sounds kind of crazy, but is that not what the county is doing right now with this proposal to do a study on the new form of government?
I guess my view is I've looked at the seven forms, and I don't see one that is going to benefit the citizens of Kootenai County. So no Kootenai County residents have come to me and asked for this new form to even look at the new forms. And I think when people fully understand what these new forms mean, even if you kept all the row officers elected and went to five commissioners, now you have the issue of serial meetings. And that's public business being done behind closed doors.
Yeah, this has been one of Bill's complaints that he's aired a couple of times, that he can't meet with anybody without going into public meetings laws. And we're familiar with public meetings laws, but isn't that a good thing?
I think so. I don't see what the problem is with me bringing my ideas to Chris or Bill in a public forum. I don't understand that part of it. So once again, this really has not been an issue that's been brought to us.
So let me ask that question in a different way. Since you've been on the county commission, Have there been ideas that have not come to the front to be discussed because of the challenge of going through the public meetings announcement and process?
I can only answer from me, and no. If I have something that I feel is necessary, beneficial, then yeah, I bring it forward. I put it on an agenda and we talk about it. And that just happened today. I didn't like one word of this ordinance that we were asked to pass. And so I brought it to the meeting and said, hey, I don't like this word. I want to change this word. And so we talked about it and they agreed. And so now it's going to go forth on a business meeting in the future to be voted on and approved. I don't really feel like that's an issue, but I also have a whole different perspective. I work for the taxpayers directly. I'm their direct representative to make sure that nothing in government infringes on their rights. Nothing in government prevents them from doing what they want to do that's already, you know, not legal, and that does not hurt their neighbors' rights. So I just look at it differently, that I'm not here for me to do a certain agenda. I'm not here to accomplish certain goals or anything. I'm just here to be a representative. And I don't know. I mean, maybe that's just a unique position. I do want to leave the county better than when I found it. I do see some definite needs that we have to address soon in the future for the long-term health of the county. I guess that's just where I go with it. So I'm not opposed to talking about things, but I have reviewed those 7 forms and I don't see how any one of them would be more beneficial to the taxpayers in the county. The 3 commission form that we have right now, it's not great, but it's a lot better than what we could have if we changed forms.
Right. Okay, so wrapping up, where are we as of right now today?
So today we have picked an ad hoc committee, so 3 members to then interview people to be recommended to the board for appointment to the 9-member study commission. So the first meeting is tomorrow, April 13th at 5:30 at the Kootenai County building. So that's where the ad hoc committee will meet and decide how they want to go through the process of making these recommendations.
And how often does the committee plan on meeting, you think?
This is their first meeting.
Oh, and they get to pick all of that.
They get to pick all of that. They decide how often they meet, where they meet, and how they want to go through the process.
And their reporting process, they follow standard public meetings laws.
They
all
do.
All of this will be public record.
Yep. All of it will be public record. Yes. I believe all of it will be on YouTube as well.
Perfect. Any final thoughts you wish to share with the listeners?
I just want to encourage everybody to be involved in how many ever ways that they feel that invokes their passion along with service. We're not to a point where people can just sit back and relax anymore and believe that the elected officials have their best interest at heart. They have to be involved. They have to be coming to meetings. They have to understand the budget process. They just really need to be engaged at this point, because if you value the quality of life in Kootenai County, then everything that happens in the next few years is going to predict whether we maintain it, whether we improve it, or whether it degrades.
Boy, talk about keeping Idaho, Idaho, and not letting it Californicate. Well, Leslie, thank you so much for coming on the program today.
You're very welcome.
We've reached the end of the episode, but not the end of the issue. Please share this episode with your friends and family. If you have questions or would like to share your own issues and ideas, visit www.idahospeaks.com and click Share an Issue. Your state, your voice, Idaho Speaks.